Blog Talk Radio.
Pleasant good evening to you once again. You're in tune to the Bible Coach, and I'm your host, Tim Washington. I want to thank you again for joining tonight as we are back here in the saddle of the Lord. And definitely, we have been away for a couple of weeks, and we just want to say that God is still on the throne, and He is still working on behalf of this ministry. We want to thank every one of you who have been praying for this ministry. We want to thank you for all of your well wishes, and of course, for you who are interceding on behalf of the ministry. We just want to say we appreciate you. We thank you for your listenership. We thank you for all of the times that you have gone into the archives and listened to the messages that have been shared, and we just want to say we appreciate you dearly and deeply, because we know that you could have been listening or doing something totally with your time, but to God be the glory, you have taken the time to stop in and check us out, whether you listen to us live or whether you listen to us by way of the archives. Again, we want to say we appreciate your listenership, and we just want to thank you for all of the times you have joined in and participated with us. So with that being said, we just want to encourage you as well to continue to go forward and trusting God and believing God. We've also been working with a training ground ministry over in the west side of Fort Worth, and God is indeed blessing. We have some testimonies from different individuals who have experienced the blessings of God. They've gotten jobs, and many have received a knowledge of the Word of God, and we're just growing and continuing to go forward in faith. The enemy is always going to challenge you on every point of whatever you're doing for God, and we know that God is still able to do exceedingly and abundantly whatever we are able to ask or think in His name. We're living in a time where the enemy knows that he has but a short time, and he is seeking to kill, steal, and destroy. And so we've got to be constantly alert. The Lord tells us to be sober, be vigilant. Your adversary, the devil, is walking about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. So we've got to study to show ourselves approved unto God, a workman that needed not be ashamed to rightly divide the word of truth. And we're living in that moment, in that time where the devil is so that neighbors, whole neighborhoods are controlled by the influence of the enemy. There are demon spirits that are working overtime in different neighborhoods, providing drugs and all kinds of prostitution and all sorts of activity in that community, stealing and just wreaking havoc in neighborhoods. But I want you to know that when the body of Christ gets together and they began to pray and intercede on behalf of those communities, the devil has to flee. He has to get out of those communities. And so it's a call for the church to continue to pray and make sure that in your neighborhood, the place that you are living in, the place where your church is abiding, you want to make sure that you encourage all of your members to definitely intercede through intercessory prayer. So we're going to go to God in just a moment, and we're going to get into the Word of God. Tonight we're talking on the subject dream killers. Dream killers is what we're talking on tonight, and I pray to God that you will continue to pray for this ministry as we grow in grace and in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. So let's go to God in prayer as we always do. Father, we thank you once again for this great opportunity that you've granted to us to come once again on this platform of Blog Talk Radio to proclaim your word and to teach your word and to share it with all of those who will listen. God, you said that if any man have an ear, let him hear what the Spirit is saying unto the church. We're living in a time, God, where we know that the church is not zoned just to the building, but you have said that you are looking for a people, not church buildings, but people who have a without spot or wrinkle. And so, Lord, we're praying that we will line up with your word and line up with what your mission and your commission has been for all of your children everywhere who name the name of Christ. So help us, Lord, we pray in the name of Jesus, to be empowered by your spirit to be a witness in this community and all of the communities around the world that we have given ourselves wholly and unreservedly to you to accomplish. God, help us to finish the assignment that you have given to us. And when we have done all that we can do to stand, we pray that we would hear that voice saying, well done. Get in Jesus' name. Amen. Tonight, again, my friends, we are talking on the subject, which is a very important subject. It's called dream killers. And we're going to be coming from the book of Genesis, chapter 37, Genesis, the 37th chapter, where we'll pick up this powerful and major story that is located in the book of Genesis. And if you will turn to Genesis chapter 37, we will be sharing some information with you in regards to a man by the name of Joseph. Joseph was a young man that had brothers and was the young brother. And he was one of the young brothers. And it's interesting, Jacob had Joseph in his old age. And he had Joseph from his beautiful wife that he loved. And they had Joseph. And Joseph was so loved by his father that his father made him a coat of many colors. It was a coat of royalty that many of the people who had a little money, those are the type of people who would wear this type of robe. And his brothers, when you get to Genesis chapter 37, we pick up the story in verse number 3, and it says, now Israel loved Joseph more than all of his children, because he was the son of his old age, and he made him a coat of many colors. And when his brethren saw that their father loved him more than all his brethren, they hated him and could not speak peaceably unto him. So here these brethren, they had a bad taste in their mouth, and they could not speak peaceably to him, because they saw that there was a difference that was made between them and this little brother of theirs, who the father had paid so much attention to, that father loved him above all of the brethren. And then it says in verse 5, and Joseph dreamed a dream, and he told it his brethren, and they hated him yet the more. Now, not only are you favored by your father, and you've got this coat of many colors, and we see that our father loves you more than we do, and now you have this dream that you have dreamed, and you have the audacity to go and tell us this dream. And this is not a dream that the brethren are favored in. In fact, they listened to Joseph's dream, and it says in verse 6, and he said unto them, hear, I pray you, this dream which I have dreamed. For behold, we were binding sheaves in the field, and lo, my sheaf arose, and also stood upright. And behold, your sheaves stood round about, and made obstinance to my sheep. And so here Joseph just told them an inflammatory dream. And I want you to know, my friends, that you cannot tell your vision or dream to everybody. Everybody is not going to be excited for what you are going to accomplish or what God has so designed for you. But you've got to also understand that your vision and your dream is going to come with some challenges. It's going to come with some responsibility. You're going to have to oftentimes suffer a little bit before the manifestation of your dream or vision will come to its completion. So know this, my friend, that whenever you are about to step out on the promise of God and begin to trust God, that you are going to receive some opposition. It's going to be warranted that you are going to receive some opposition as you move forward in the vision or the dream that God has given to you. And know, again, that everybody is not going to be proud of you. Everybody is not going to be excited for you. Everybody is going to pat you on your back for what you are about to accomplish. And so here in verse number 8, it says, "And his brethren said unto him, Shalt thou indeed reign over us? Or shalt thou indeed have dominion over us? And they hated him yet the more for his dreams and for his words." Everybody cannot stand your words or hear your words. In fact, the more you talk, the more angry they will become. It doesn't matter how you shift it around, how you speak the words. These words will come back oftentimes against you. They will fight your words. They will fight your dream. They will fight your words that you speak. And the Bible lets us know that life and death is in the power of the tongue. And if the devil can shut your lips and seal it up and keep you from speaking and saying anything, he will do it. And so he's a dream killer. The devil will kill your dream if at all possible that he can get himself in position. The Bible says he comes to steal, kill, and destroy, and the enemy will destroy your opportunity. He will try to destroy your pushing forward in the faith of God and trusting and believing God. The enemy will come against you. You can rest assured that he will come. In verse 9 it says, "And he dreamed yet another dream, and he told it his brethren, and said, Behold, I have dreamed a dream more, and behold, the sun and the moon and the 11 stars made obeisance to me." And he told it to the father, and to his brethren, and his father rebuked him and said unto him, "What is this dream that thou hast dreamed? Shall I and thy mother and thy brethren indeed come to bow down ourselves to thee to the earth?" And his brethren envied him, but his father observed the saying. Now, even though the father rebuked him, Jacob had a good sense to know that perhaps there's something more to this thing that I'm not perhaps getting all of the details about. Because, see, Jacob was a dreamer as well. He had dreamed a dream as well, and he saw the ladder of God going up into the heavens above, and he saw the angels ascending and descending upon that ladder. So Jacob knew about dreams. It was not something that he was unfamiliar with, and he understood that oftentimes God will speak to you through a dream, through a vision. God will speak to you, and he will allow you to go forward in your dream. But, oh, I want you to know that you are going to experience some challenges. So not only did Joseph have one dream, but Joseph had a second dream. And whenever there is a doubling down of the dream, you can rest assured that that thing is going to come to pass as it is in Christ Jesus. God will begin to to pour out some things on your behalf and make some things happen. Now, I want you to hold that point, because we're going to run over to the book of Ephesians, because I want you to see some things in the book of Ephesians, because you must understand and know that there is nothing that happens by chance or happenstance. There is always a plan that God has specifically for your life. And so in Ephesians chapter 1, we're going to jump down to verse number 3, and we're going to begin to read this chapter. And it says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who had blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ." So God has afforded you and I some blessings that are heavenly blessings. They are blessings that are come forth from Him, and they are spiritual in its nature. And so God is trying to help us to understand that, according in verse 4, it says, "According as He had chosen us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before Him in love." So just before the foundation of the world, God had already had you in mind. He had already chosen you before the foundation of the world, that at what time and what season you should come on the scene, God had already set the bounds of your habitation. He already knew before you came forth, before you came in your mother's womb. He says, "Before I formed you, I knew who you were before you came forth." He had already ordained your destination, and He's ordained your destination in that He said that, "Look, I already wanted you to be a holy individual. I already have designed and purposed and set a plan in place that you might become one with Me, that you might become a part of the fellowship of the family." And so in verse 5, He says, "Having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to Himself, according to the good pleasure of His will." So He says that, "Look, I didn't check with nobody. I designed this thing to happen on time. I designed that you would come on the scene in the 21st century of life, and this is the time frame that I designed for you to come in. You are living absolutely on purpose. The reason that you are here today is because God designed that you should live in this specific time." And so God has so designed that the Bible Coach should come in this season, in this time, in this part of the historical future, if you will, that God has designed that I would come on the scene in such hours as this. It was like Esther. Esther came, the Bible says, "And who knows whether you have come to the kingdom for such a time as this." And you know that we are living in the end of time, and the time of the end shall come, and Jesus will soon come in the clouds of glory. And so God is saying to you and I that I need you to know and understand what your purpose is and who you are and what I've called you to do. As I called you, even before the foundation of the world, I had already chosen you to be a part of My royal family. I had predestined you to become adopted into the family of Jesus Christ. And I did this all because of the good pleasure of My own will. And then He says, "To the praise of the glory of His grace," verse 6, "wherein He had made us accepted in the beloved." And God says that, "Look, I know that you may think that you are an outcast, but I have already accepted you in the beloved. Before the foundation of the world, you was already accepted in the royal family. I had already given you your grade of A. I have already proclaimed you to be Mine before you were Mine. I already declared and decreed that you'll be Mine." What a wonderful and powerful God that we serve, that will look down through the eons of time and see your time and see your season and see your place and see what you would be manifesting to do. And he said that I declared it, I decreed it before you even came forth. I made it happen. And now all of the things are lining up. All of your purpose is about to line up, and I'm about to manifest myself in a way that you have not seen in all of the times that you have been living. I am about to breathe on the dream. I'm about to pour out some spiritual blessings upon that vision that I've set forth for you to accomplish. And so he says, I've already accepted you in the beloved. Oh, I know that sometimes men that we live in men will not accept who you are. They will not accept your calling. They will not accept your being chosen by God to do a specific work. They won't always line up to praise you or to magnify the position or the vision that God has given to you. And so don't you worry about all of that. You are accepted in the beloved. You have been chosen, predestined to be sons and daughters of God even before the foundation of the world. In fact, verse 11 of that chapter says, he says, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will. My brothers and sisters, he says that I've been working this thing out. I've been purposing some things on your behalf even before the foundation of the world, and I have declared and decreed that you have an inheritance with me, and I've worked this thing all out according to the counsel of my own will. I didn't consult nobody when I began to design my plan that I have for you. I've got some good plans, he says, for you. I've got some things that I'm going to do on your behalf that you are. It's going to absolutely blow your mind. And so God is about to blow some people's minds. And I want you to know that you're going to have and experience some dream killers. There will be some people who will try to cut your dream off or your vision before it even begins. The devil wants to try to destroy your dream or your vision as soon as you have dreamed the dream of, or you have had the vision. The enemy will show up to destroy that dream and that vision. I want you to go back and let's look a little closer at Joseph's life in Genesis chapter 37, because having all of these things in mind, that God has predestined you, he has chosen you before the foundation of the world, he has equipped you, he has given you what you are going to need for the journey, he has already accepted you in the beloved. He has worked all things out in the purpose of his will according to the counsel of his own will. He has worked this thing out for you already. So you just got to go forward and live in the moment that God has brought you to. And as you plan to allow God to lead you, you're going to discover that God is going to work out the counsel of his will in your life. And so in Genesis chapter 37, we get back to Joseph, because after so long a time, these brethren got together when they were looking for the opportunity to put forth their plan of killing this dreamer. And so it's amazing. In verse 23 of Genesis chapter 37, it says, and it came to pass when Joseph was come unto his brethren, that they stripped Joseph out of his coat of many colors that was on him. I want you to know that look back up to verse 19. It says, and they said unto one another, behold this dreamer cometh. Behold this dreamer cometh. Behold this dreamer cometh. we're going to short circuit this dreamer. We're going to put this this dreamer to silence. We're not going to be able to listen to his words anymore. In fact, the thing that we envied so much, we're going to strip him of it. And I want you to know, my friends, that sometimes the covering that you have on, that sometimes people will try to strip you of your covering. But I want you to know that the Holy Ghost is always covering you. The hand of God is always upon you, especially when he's working things out after the counsel of his own will. God is purposing and planning, and even though he may allow the enemy to do some things, it's on course, it's on target, it's going to go according to the plan of God. No matter how much the enemy comes against you, God is still going to work out things according to the counsel of his own will. He has purposed, he has planned, he has made provisions for your dream to come to pass. And so he did. Here, they said, here comes this dreamer. And they began to say, verse 20, it says, and come now, therefore, and let us slay him and cast him into some pit, and we shall say some evil beast had devoured him. We shall see what will become of his dreams. Oh, I tell you, my friends, they were plotting against the dream. They were about to set in motion a plan to kill the dreamer and to kill the dream. And if you're not careful, you will be associated with some folks who will try to kill your dream immediately when they hear the voice of the words that you speak and you tell it to them. They're not able to handle it. They're not able to latch hold of the vision. And the Bible says that my people perish for lack of vision. They don't know they're going. They don't have any direction. And here God is setting forth the plan for their direction, for their deliverance. And yet they can't see it because they're looking through a dark glass. They're looking through the eyes of flesh. And so when the eyes of flesh is looking upon the spiritual vision of God, he says, I bless you with all spiritual blessing in heavenly places. And everybody cannot catch a hold to the heavenly vision. Everybody cannot see the spiritual blessing that is up on you and that's about to take place. And so you've got to insulate yourself in the fact that you must come closer to the Lord Jesus Christ. You must be bent on doing the will of God, because the will of God is going to be uppermost in your mind and soul. And so they stripped him of his coat of many colors in verse 23. And then in verse 26 it says, and Judah said unto his brethren, what profit is it if we slay our brother and conceal his blood? Come, let us sell him to the Ishmaelites, and let not our hand be upon him, for he is our brethren in our flesh. And his brethren were content. Ah, we just want to get rid of this dreamer. We just want to get him out of our presence. Even if we have to sell him down the road, we will sell him out for the purpose of stopping this dreamer from dreaming, and for the purpose of stopping his words from falling upon our ears. We would rather, if we'll have a little compassion for him. We first thought to kill him, but now we're just going to get rid of him. We want to get him out of our face. We don't want to hear his words no more, because they to our heart. Every time we hear his words, it troubles us, and we are not content with having him in our presence. But now that he is about to move out of our presence and get out of our way, we're content. Oh, my friends, a lot of people are content to see you fall. There are some people who are content to see you out of their presence. But God, I tell you, my friends, then there passed by midnight a merchant, and they drew and lifted up Joseph out of the pit and sold Joseph to the Ishmaelites for 20 pieces of silver, and they brought Joseph into Egypt. My brothers and sisters, I'm telling you that sometimes there are not even anybody that can save you from the course of the enemy for a time, for a season. You may be seemingly in the hands of the enemy, but I want you to know that really you are being undergirded by the hands of God. God is holding fast you, and it may appear for a time that the enemy has won, but you just hold on for a little while longer. You just hold on just a little while longer, and you will discover that everything that God had purposed for you, chosen you, out of what they will take you through, but God is going to get the glory for what he's doing in your life. So you just hold on just a little while longer. And I'm telling you, my friends, that everything that he has said about you, everything that he has accepted you, he says, I have accepted you in the beloved. I already accepted you. Even if they think that you've got some flaws, even though they think you've got some shortcomings, even though they think that you ain't adequate enough, even though they think that you are not educated enough, even though they think all of these things, brothers and sisters, I want you to know that you are living on purpose. You are living according to the will of God, and God would have it so that you would hold on to his unchanging hand and do the will of God until he says, well done, thy good and faithful servant. You better hold on to what God has for you. Don't worry about what man may say. You better live unto God and allow God to hold you in the palm of his hand and walk you through everything that you are going to be on. And so after many years, you get all the way over to Genesis chapter 45, and the plan of God begins to take place. And you can know that Joseph is now about to be in position, because now all of his family is coming to Egypt because there was a famine in the land, and this famine had caused people to come out of their land and come to Egypt where Joseph was to be fed food, because God had already put in place Joseph. He came into the city of Egypt for the purpose of saving lives. Many lives, and people were able to be sustained through the 7 years of famine and the 7 years of plenty. They made storehouses to store up food against the time that there was going to be a famine in the land. And so Joseph had been sent to Egypt to prepare the way for his whole family to be saved. And I want you to know that sometimes God will place you in position where you become a forerunner for the rest of those who will become saved by your words and by the dream that you have dreamed, by the vision that you have. God has sent you forward and to a place that is not currently occupied by those who you know. Oh, my friends, I tell you, sometimes you will have to get out of the place of familiarity in order to get to the place where God is about to work some plans out in your life that's not going to look like anything that you've done in the past. And brothers and sisters, it came to Abraham. God told Abraham, I need you to get you up from all of your family and all of your brethren and go to a land that I'm going to show you. And so Abraham didn't have nothing but the good sense to wake up and follow what God had told him to do against all of perhaps the people who may have said, where are you going, Abraham? What are you doing? What are you trying to do? And Abraham just got up and he began to follow, not even knowing where he was going. He just responded to the word of God. God, you told me to go, and I'm going to go. I don't know what's ahead of me. I don't know how this thing going to turn out. I don't know anything about all of that. All I know is I heard you say go, and I'm going to get up and go and get up from my brethren because you told me to go. And so it may not appear like you know what you're doing, and you may not even know what you're doing. But I tell you, my brothers and sisters, if God told you to get up and do it, go and do it against all odds, against every other voice that may clamor against you, that may speak against you. that may talk down upon you, that tries to kill your dream in its infancy. Oh, I tell you, my friends, the devil will try to kill your dream in its infancy. Immediately after Joseph had dreamed a dream, he told the dream, and it was in the infancy of his dream that the devil was trying to kill his dream. If you go over to the book of Exodus, Exodus chapter 1, you'll also discover that in verse number 22, that Moses was about to come on the scene. It was so that God had purposed that Moses would come on the scene at such a time as this. And I want you to know that the enemy knew that Egypt was going to be delivered by Moses. And so it says in verse number 22, and Pharaoh charged all of his people, saying, every son that is born ye shall cast into the river, and every daughter you shall save alive. And so it was for the effort and the purpose that every boy child that born among the children of Israel was going to be killed. They were trying to kill every boy child, and this was going to be because Moses was about to come on the scene. He was going to be the great deliverer that God was going to use to get all of the children of Israel out of their situation. And I tell you, my friends, the enemy always knows when God is about to move and do something on behalf of his people. The devil will have it that if he could kill something in its infancy, he will destroy it in its infancy, even before it has an opportunity to get going and going forward. There are people who will judge things before its time. And so here, Moses was coming on the scene. In verse 1 of chapter 2, it says, and there went a man of the house of Levi and took a wife, a daughter of Levi. And the woman conceived and bare a son, and when she saw him, that he was a goodly child, she hid him 3 months. Yes, she did. And when she could not longer hide him, she took for him an ark of burl rushes and dug it with slime and with pitch and put the child therein, and she laid it in the flags by the river brink. And his sister stood afar off to wit that would be done to him. And she just wanted to know what was going to happen to her little brother. They made a little ark for him, and she pitched it, and she put slime on it, almost like the ark that Noah built. It was on that same format that she built a little bitty, small, miniature ark to be able to go up on the river, and this was the setting forth of the promise of God. The purpose of God was wrapped in the ark, and I want you to know that even though it appeared like this was his demise, that perhaps he would get eaten along the river road, there was an eye that was upon him. His sister was watching him. And he was a son of Levi. Oh, my friends, I tell you that God will accomplish his purpose. In verse 5, it says, and the daughter of Pharaoh came to wash herself at the river, and her maidens walked along by the riverside. And when she saw the ark among the flags, she sent her maid to fetch it. And when she had opened it, she saw the child, and behold, the baby wept. And she had compassion on him and said, this is one of the Hebrew children. Then said his sister to Pharaoh's daughter, shall I go and call to thee a nurse to the Hebrew women that she may nurse the child for thee? Boy, I'm telling you, sometimes you just have to have some wisdom. And this little young child had the wisdom of God planted in her, because I want you to know that God was setting the course of his direction. God was setting the course for his purpose, for his plan. And God is always involved in your life, whether you believe it or not. God is always involved in your life because he sees the end from the beginning. He knows why I'm calling you out. He knows why I've chosen chosen you for such an hour and such a time as this, and it may not occur to anybody else why he has called you or chosen you, but you rest assured that if the hand of God is upon what you're going to do, it's going to be accomplished no matter what. And so it was that the Hebrew mother got her own son back to nurse, and she nursed him until it was time to release him. And I want you to know that when you've done all that God has called you to do to nurture the thing that he has purposed for it to be, I want you to know that sometimes you just got to be in the position to release, because now that thing is in the hands of God. It's always been in the hands of God, but God has a part for you to play in nurturing the thing that he's about to accomplish, about the thing that he's about to produce, the things that he's about to set free and release. And so they released him at appointed time. And so he was going to go and learn all what he needed to learn. And then God was going to put him in a position where he's going to fulfill the thing that he had. Oh, my friends, I tell you, there is some dream killers. The devil would have you destroyed before even you ever got out of the blocks of God. I want you to know, over in the book of Matthew, the second chapter, and let us just go on and let you know that even our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ, Matthew chapter 2, and looking at verse number 13, and it says, and when they were departed, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream, saying, arise and take the young child and his mother and flee into Egypt, and be thou there until I bring thee word, for Herod will seek the young child to destroy him. Herod had sought, he was about to send out a decree to destroy all of the boy children 2 years and under, just as Pharaoh did in Egypt. But I want you to understand that our Lord now is going to go to Egypt for covering. He is going to escape the people that was in Israel. He was going to escape Herod. So it was just like a reversal of what happened to Moses. And so Egypt was trying to destroy the children. But now on this occasion, God sends Jesus to the very place where Moses had gone, that he would have probably been destroyed. So God tells Moses to tells Joseph, watch this, Joseph, who is not Jesus' biological dad, but he is his surrogate dad. And so he dreams a dream, and God tells him in the dream to take the child to Egypt. That's where he was going. And you're going to remain there until I bring you word for him to come out of there. So I want you to know that sometimes God will put you in a position, in a place where it's designed for your covering. It's designed to keep your killing the dream. And so God will oftentimes connect you with a place where you will not have the ability of the enemy, will not have the ability to kill your dream or to kill your purpose or to kill the plan of God. And so God will take you and put you sometimes in a place where you're covered from the enemy's grasp. He cannot reach you. He cannot get to you because God has cut off his pathway to you. And so God will cause you to be in a position where the very thing that tried to kill the dream, well, God will turn that thing around. Watch this, because in verse number 15 it says, in verse 14 it says, and when he arose, he took the young child and his mother by night and departed into Egypt and was there until the death of Herod, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, out of Egypt have I called my son. So I want you to know that it is even God had purpose that he would go to Egypt even before he came to the earth, even before it was manifested that Christ would come. God had already spoken by the prophet that he would come and go to Egypt. Brothers and sisters, sometimes when the thing that comes against you, God says that, look, before that thing, I'll let that thing kill your dream. I'll allow that thing to die. Amen. God said that I will cause that thing that come against you to die. And so Herod died. And when he died, his purpose, his anger, his frustration that was against the dream, it all ceased. It all came to a screeching halt because God's hand was upon the thing. And I tell you, my friends, when God's hand is upon it, nobody can stop it. Nobody can counter it. Nobody can put a halt to it. Nobody can restrain it. Nobody can smother it, cover it. Nobody can take the air out of it. It's going to keep on moving. Even as God had purposed and planned it to be so, it's going to come to pass. You got to be careful because, again, there are some dream killers that will try to kill the dream. But, oh, I tell you, friends of mine, God will see you through. Over in the book of Acts, Jesus had told this little group of disciples that one day that they were going to smite the shepherd and all of the sheep would be scattered. They were trying to kill the dream. They was trying to kill our Savior. The very thing that they thought would kill the movement, to kill the dream, to kill the ideal, to kill the purpose, to kill the vision. Everything that they thought would kill it was the very thing that caused it to live. Oh, my friends, I want you to know that the devil will come and try to kill the dream, kill the vision. But oftentimes the very thing that he has done to try to kill it is the very thing that causes it to live. It is the very thing that causes that thing to live and is for this purpose, for that God had chosen you out of the quarry, that he had cut you out of the rock, and he has placed you and established you upon a strong foundation. Oh, the wind is going to blow. The storm is going to come. It's going to beat up on your house. But I tell you that when God has planted you firm as a rock, as he has planted you firmly in the beside the rivers of water, he said that you will not be moved. The enemy will try to bend you. He will try to break you. But I want you to know that you will not be moved. The wind will come. The waves will come. But it will beat upon your house, but your house will stand. It will stand firm because it's founded upon the rock. And that rock is Christ Jesus. And my brothers and sisters, if you will just dig in and hold fast to the purpose, hold fast to the plan, hold fast to the dream, hold fast to the vision, keep on keeping on, because soon and very soon, he who is able to bring to pass all that he has said and spoken over your life, it will happen. It will happen against all odds, against all oppositions, against all plans and purposes to defeat it. It will still stand because it's founded upon the rock, Christ Jesus. Well, the old devil decided that, hey, look, I'm going to take advantage of this thing. I'm going to exploit this thing. Jesus has died on the cross, and that's the end of this little group, these little 12 disciples, these little 11 disciples that now remain. We're going to defeat them. And even before they can get out of the blocks, we're going to cut this thing. They're running scared. They all up in the upper room. They scared. They got the door closed and locked and almost barred so that nobody can come in and they can't get out. I want you to know, my brothers and sisters, you can only keep a thing down for so long. But I want you to know that even when they tried to keep Jesus down, Jesus couldn't stay down. He came up out of the grave, and he said that all power is given unto me in heaven and earth. And I tell you, my friends, that he gives the church the commission to go ye therefore in all the world, to baptizing in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, and teaching them to observe all things that I've commanded you, and lo, I'll be with you even unto the end of the world. And I tell you, my friends, when you have the Lord Jesus Christ on your side, you can be just a few in number, but you are a majority because you got the Lord on your side. The enemy, the devil, will come against you. He will fight. He will war. He will plan attacks upon you. But I want you to know that God will lift up a standard against him, and every mouth that has spoken against you will be shut, and everything that tried to infect and disinfect and to affect you will come to a screeching halt. And so it was that these old disciples who had been scared, who had ran, who had been distress, they had been in distress, they had been troubled, their minds could not wrap around the fact that their Savior was dead. But, oh, I tell you that one day he got up. He got up out of the grave with all power in his hand, and he says that I'm going to transfer this same power unto you. But I need you to go and tarry there in the city of Jerusalem until you be imbued with power from on high. And you're going to be witnesses for me in Jerusalem, Judea, and Samaria, and to the uttermost parts of the earth, because I'm going to give you the power to be a witness on my behalf. And, oh, I heard in Acts chapter 2 that something happened. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place, and suddenly, this thing happened suddenly, all of a sudden they began to line up with the will and the purpose of God. They began to give themselves over to the Master. They yielded to the hand of God, the purpose, the plan. They put selfishness all aside. They began to lay prostrate before the altar of God, and they cried out and they called upon him, and they were seeking for the promise, and the promise was about to be released from the heavens above. And because he says that you have received blessings, spiritual blessings in heavenly places, God was about to release these spiritual blessings upon the body of Christ so that they may operate in the spiritual heavenly blessings that God was about to pour upon them. And when it said that they were all on one accord in one place, and suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as a fire, and it set upon each of them. And they all began to be filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. And there were dwelling there at Jerusalem Jews, devout men out of every nation under heaven. And they began to speak in the languages of the people, and they heard the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ in their own tongue, wherein they were born to speak. And they said, are not all of these Galileans? And how is it that we're hearing them speaking and communicating in our own language wherein we were born? Maybe they have gotten a hold of some new wine. Maybe they're drunk. And the Lord, and Peter stood up and told them, it's only 9 o'clock in the morning. The liquor store ain't even open really good. And I want you to understand that what you see is the thing that God had promised. He had promised us some spiritual blessings in heavenly places. And so it is that this rushing mighty wind from heaven came down upon the church, and it empowered them. The Bible tells us that Christ was going to give them power to be witnesses. And so they received the power and the anointing of God, and they began to speak the words into existence. And the dreams of them becoming a part of the kingdom was now becoming a reality, because the kingdom that they were a part of was a kingdom that was not of this world, not of this system, not of the things that they thought about the kingdom before. Now they came into their true purpose, and the true manifestation of God was taking place in their life. And I want you to know, my friends, that every I had to kill your dream, kill your vision, kill your purpose, kill the plan that God has set forth in motion. I want you to know that if you would just grasp hold of the hand of God even tighter, hold on, because he's going to cause you to ride through the storm of frustration, the storm of segregation, who they will segregate you from the rest of people, and they will ostracize your name. They will make light of what you're doing. But I want you to know that if you will hold the hand of God, God will cause you to navigate through all of that garbage and all of that stuff and all of those things that the enemy has thrown in your pathway. But you better hold fast to the promises of God. Don't you stumble at the promise of God. See, the children of Israel stumbled at the promise of God, and it cost them 40 years of wandering in the wilderness. I don't know about you, my friends, but I don't want to wander in nobody's wilderness. I want to continue to do what God has called me to do. And so it is for this purpose that I've come on the scene. It is for this cause that God has called me out of darkness into this marvelous light. He has chosen me before the foundation of the world. He has accepted me in the beloved, and he has furnished me with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places, and therefore I shall go forward in the plan and the will and the purpose of God, and no matter what man may say, I will follow the Lord's beckoning and his calling, and because he has done it already, and it is, and I claim it, I declare it is finished in him, and I will move forward in faith, trusting and believing that what God, he will accomplish, and the assignment that he has given me, I will finish it in him. And so I will lay down my old sword and my shield, and I will say to the Lord, thank you for another day's journey. Just thank you, Lord, for allowing me to participate in your royal family. And I want to thank you, Lord, for predestining me for this purpose, for this hour, for this time, for this season. I thank you, Lord, for all that you've done. And so it is that I place everything in his hands, and I believe that the will of God is going to be accomplished in your life as you yield more into to the beckonings of the Holy Spirit. As you move closer to the hand of God, God will cover you, and he will shield you. He will protect you. He will send you through all of the voices that will be trying to speak down or kill your dream or kill your vision. You're going to hold on to God and lean upon him. I believe the songwriter says he's leaning in my direction. And I tell you, God is trying to lean in your direction. He's leaning in your direction. And all you have to do is hold on to him and watch God work on your behalf. Boy, I tell you, I thank the Lord for this message, and I pray that it will find favor in your heart. I pray that place in a spot to encourage you to go on a little further in the Lord Jesus Christ. Because I believe that God has chosen you before the foundation of the world, and that you should hear this message and that you would live in this time to receive this word. I pray that God will take it and hold it fast in your heart and hide it, that you might not sin against him. Father, I pray right now in the name of Jesus that every voice that comes against the people of God, every person that will think to override the vision and the dream of those who you have called chosen, God, I pray, dear Lord, that you would cause the standard to be lifted up, and that every mouth will be stopped, and every enemy that has tried to come against what you have for that individual, that they would cease and they would desist, and that you would move upon them like never before, suddenly come upon your people with that rushing mighty wind of the Holy Ghost, and watch the power of God cause you to be a witness and be effective in in the body of Christ. Father, I pray that you would seal up your word in their hearts, that they may not sin against you, that they would hold fast the profession of their faith. They will make full proof of their ministry until you come, in the name of Jesus. Amen and amen. My friends, I thank you once again for tuning in. I pray God's choices, blessings upon your life, and that you would adhere to the voice of the living God, that you would to hold fast the profession of your faith and cling to him until you hear him say, well done. God bless you and have a great night.